linkages made of rigid links connected to lower pad joints. The Stuart platform is a well-known example. It consists of a moving platform connected to a fixed base by means of six legs. So by modifying the length of the six legs, you can control the position and orientation of a platform, which is useful on vehicle and flight simulators. An important point to note is that we view a robotic linkage as an input-output device. In this case, the inputs are the six leg lengths. They are the actuated degrees of freedom, and the outputs are the six pose coordinates of the moving platform. Okay, our aim is to develop tools to understand the motion capabilities of such devices, whether they, what are the possible movements, output regions, or whether there are motion impediments in some configurations. This leads to studying the so-called configuration space of the linkage, or C-space for short, which we represent here as a sphere. And there are several things that can be done to understand the motion capabilities of a linkage. One is to try to isolate all points of the C-space to be able to simulate all possible motion paths. This is what we call position analysis. Another possibility is to try to isolate certain silhouettes of the C-space, those relative to the input and output coordinates of the linkage, a problem which we call singularity analysis. And finally, we may want to determine whether for two given configurations there exists a feasible motion path linking them, which we call path planning. In this talk, I will survey methods for solving these two problems, but I can give you details on our work on path planning later on after the talk, okay? So this is mainly joint work with Porta, Buigas, Manuens, and Thomas from our lab in Barcelona. So let's begin with the position analysis problem. Here's a linkage, a planar linkage, the double butterfly linkage, made of rigid links and pin joints. The position analysis problem consists on computing all possible linkage configurations. By a configuration, we mean an assignment of positions and orientations to all links that satisfy the assembly constraints of the linkage, up to isometries. Okay? To eliminate the class of isometric configurations, we simply attach one of the links to the ground. I will describe a method for solving this problem numerically that works both for rigid and mobile linkages. The method will be explained for the case of planar pin-jointed linkages for simplicity, but actually it is applicable to spatial linkages with any kind of lower pair joints, whether revolute, prismatic, spherical, and so on. Okay, before proceeding, an important point to note is that if our linkage is a tree, then the problem is relatively easy because we can assign relative orientation angles to all links, and the C-space is simply the n-dimensional torus relative to such angles. So we concentrate on the problem in the case that there are some loops in the linkage, like in this case, three loops. Here it becomes harder because for each loop, a loop closure constraint needs to be satisfied. This kind of constraints arise in a number of settings in robotics, for example, when following a trajectory with a robot arm, when planning the motions of a parallel manipulator, or those of a multi-fingered hand grasping an object, or in human-robot interactions. In all such cases, a number of loop closure constraints need to be taken into account for the motions to be valid. This kind of loops also arise in other domains too, such in structural biology, for example, when computing the localized moves of atom chains and or in the conformational study of cyclic molecules and so on. So let me give an idea of how we tackle the problem in comparison to previous approaches. The usual approach consists of formulating a system of equations that encode all assembly constraints of the linkage, and then the system, using algebraic manipulations, is reduced to a univariate polynomial called the resultant that retains the solutions of the original system, and which is solved numerically in the end. This has been historically the preferred route, at least in robotics. It was used, for example, by Pacek and others to find a sextic polynomial describing all possible configurations of the Desargues framework, which has two loops. Later on, in the 90s, Innocenti solved all three loop Azure kinematic chains, and Nielsen, Roth, and Wampler used Dixon's resultant to tackle linkages of a similar size. And lately, Rojas and Thomas, using an approach based on bilaterations, they have been able to solve sixth loop linkages like this Vat-Varanov truss. Okay, an advantage of the reduction approach is that it is fast on small linkages. It computes the configurations fastly. Reduction methods are targeted to rigid linkages. They may introduce extraneous roots, and the size and degree of the resultant grows rapidly with the linkage size. Okay, so you need more memory and precision to solve the polynomial. So to circumvent these limitations, we explored just the opposite route, which we call expansion, in which instead of reducing the original system to a univariate polynomial, we expand it to a larger system, but of an amenable form. In our case, the expanded system only has linear equations and quadratic equations, which is a form that allows using a conceptually simple numerical technique to isolate all of the roots. So a shortcoming of this approach is that it is slower on small linkages compared to the reduction approach, but it includes as advantages the possibility to tackle rigid and mobile linkages. It doesn't introduce extraneous roots, and we can tackle much larger linkages. In fact, we have been able to solve 10 to 18 loop linkages. We'll show some examples later in the talk. But we have also been able to solve 64 loop linkages like this hinged dissection of the plane here. However, reduction methods so far seem to be able to only deal with at most six loop linkages. Okay, so let's see with a bit more of a detail each of the three steps of the approach: formulation, expansion, and numerical solution. As for the formulation, note that for each loop in the linkage, the sum of interjoined vectors must be zero along the loop. This condition can be formulated in this way, as a summation of all loops I found along the loop of this product equated to zero, where Vi is the interjoined vector of link I, which is given in an absolute, in a reference frame local to link I, so this is a constant vector. And R sub I is a rotation matrix of angle theta I, providing the orientation of this link relative to an absolute frame. So this equation yields two scalar equations, which are nothing else than linear combinations of sines and cosines of the unknown angles theta I equated to zero. And by gathering these equations for a set of fundamental loops in the linkage, we obtain the system that must be solved. This system is trigonometric, but we can expand it to a quadratic system using this change of variables. We replace the cosine and sine of zeta I by ci as I and add this circle equation. So in the end, we have an expanded system containing only linear equations and a second block of circle equations. So let's see how this system can be solved numerically. Our approach consists of considering an initial box that bounds the location of all the solutions. This box can be easily defined because all we have are all variables are sines and cosines of angles. So, and we apply two operations on this box called reduction and bisection. Using box reduction, we eliminate portions of the box that are known to contain no solution until we obtain a reduced box that provides tighter bounds of the locations of the solutions. This operation is repeated as much as possible until no further reaction is obtained, in which case this box is bisected into two child boxes, and the whole process of box reduction and bisection is applied recursively to each one of the two child boxes. So here's how the method works on a one-dimensional C-space. We begin with an initial box, and we recursively reduce the box and bisect it, until all boxes are below a given threshold sigma in size. Okay, the result is what we call a box approximation of the solution set, which can be whose accuracy can be adjusted by just modifying the sigma parameter. Okay, of the two operations, this one is relatively easy, and I will give you more detail on how the box reduction process can be implemented. So I will explain the idea for a system of two equations in two variables. Suppose that we want to compute all solutions of this system that lie within a given box of the XY plane. And suppose that this is the solution set of the first equation, and this is the solution set of the second equation. To reduce the box, what we do is to first define convex polytopes approximating each one of these two solution sets. So this is the polytope for the first equation and the polytope for the second equation. And note that the solutions of the system must necessarily lie in the intersection of the polytopes. So we can reduce the box to the smallest possible box enclosing the bilayered region here, which would be this box. Okay? This reduction can be done by defining the polytopes using a number of equalities and inequalities and half-plane inequalities, linear, and using the simplex method to minimize and maximize the value of each variable to compute the limits of the reduced box. Okay, so it only remains to see how these equalities and half-plane inequalities can be obtained for each one of the equations, but this is easy because we only have linear equations and circle equations. And in the first case, if this is the box and this is the hyperplane of the equation, the polytope is the bilayered region here, which is defined by the equation and by the half-planes of the box. In the second case, the solution set of this equation is the unit circle in the CISI plane, and the portion of this circle that lies within a given box can be bound by a polytope defined by two half-planes and the half-planes of the box. So these polytopes, we call them linear relaxations, and that's why we usually refer to the method as a linear relaxation method. So far I have given an idea of how the method works for planar linkages, but on special ones, actually the method only involves linear relaxations of the graphs of these two monomials, which can be derived using simple geometrical considerations. I will not give further details on that. But it's worth noting that the method can be naturally parallelized, because what we can do is we can implement the bookkeeping of all boxes awaiting reduction in a supervisor processor. And since box reduction is a costly operation and several boxes await for it simultaneously, it makes sense to assign such reductions to a number of child processors. So the task of a child processor is to receive a box from the supervisor, to reduce it as much as possible, and then to return it to the supervisor, who will split it and queue it for the reduction. So let me see a few examples of how the method works in particular cases. All of them were obtained solved using an implementation in C of the method. The implementation can run on multiprocessor machines, but here I will show examples using just a single CPU Pentium 4 machine, which is an old computer. The first example consists of computing all possible configurations of the double butterfly linkage with this angle here held fixed. This is a mobility zero linkage, so the C space will have, in principle, a number of isolated points only. And indeed, this is the case if we choose some particular dimensions for this linkage. We obtain these six configurations computed by the method in 0.3 seconds at sigma 10 to the minus 4. These are all possible configurations that can be that the linkage can adopt under such geometric dimensions. Okay, if we want to see how the method performs on mobility 1 linkages, what we can do is to free this angle and see what happens. In that case, the method returns this box approximation of the configuration space, which reflects, actually the C space is a 14-dimensional it's a curve in a 14-dimensional space, and this was computed in 170 seconds at sigma 10 to the minus 2. Actually, we're showing a projection onto three of the problem variables here of these boxes. We can change the projection and see a much nicer picture. We see here that actually this curve has four connected components, so which correspond to four assembly modes of the linkage, which we can animate if we like, obtaining these nice motions. As you see, we can also, the method can also compute the locus of positions of any point on the linkage. In this case, we chose to trace the locus of the coupler point curve. This curve actually was studied by Pennock, and it was found to be characterized by a 48-degree polynomial involving more than 1,000 terms. So this is a difficult-to-compute curve, in fact. Okay, to see whether we could tackle more complex linkages, we applied the method to this family of linkages, the Weil linkages. All of them are actually have mobility zero. They involve 10 loops, 14 loops, 18 loops, so they are quite large. Perhaps the interesting thing is that the graphs of these linkages are tree connected, so in principle they cannot be solved using ruler and compass methods due to a theorem by Owen and Power, and they cannot be decomposed into simpler linkages. They were solved in times ranging from 12 minutes to 10 hours, so this is a hard case where typically you would prefer to use the parallelized version of the method, right? Okay, for example, the 19 configurations found for the Weil 6 can be found, have this appearance. Some of them look similar, but if you look closer, then you will see that they are all different. Okay, and we can do as before, we can just remove one bar to obtain a mobility one linkage and see what happens. In this case, we obtain this box approximation of the C space, which is a rather weird curve. It's a curve in a 38-dimensional space, projected here onto two variables. We can zoom a little bit to see how the boxes arrange. And by using the neighborhood relationships between the boxes, you can deduce that the curve has, in fact, 16 connected components, which we can animate if we like. Takes a little bit to come up. Here they are. So these are the 16 assembly modes of this linkage. Despite it is a mobility one linkage, we have a rigid configuration. So in this case, the C space has an isolated point and 15 cyclic paths. These are also cyclic paths. If you use a microscope, you will see it. Okay. We have applied the method to a number of other settings on spatial linkages, from conformational analysis of molecules to solving forward and inverse kinematics of serial and parallel manipulators to hard problems of grasp synthesis with robotic hands. And in general, the method works well, even on configuration spaces containing bifurcations or continuous dimension changes like the Bricard linkage or the Van der Leck mechanism. However, it must be said that the problem of the method is that, of course, the computational cost is exponential with the dimension of the C space at least, because the number of solution boxes that you will find grows exponentially with the dimension of the C space. So in practice, you can use the method for describing or isolating 0, 1, or 2 dimensional C spaces. So the question is, what can we do to understand the shape of the C space on higher dimensional C spaces? And this brings us to the second topic of the talk, singularity analysis, where the aim is to isolate certain silhouettes of the C space, which are of lower dimension, thanks. They are of lower dimension, yet quite informative on the shape of the C space, as we will see. Okay, to understand the relationship of these silhouettes with the singularities of the linkage, we must focus our attention on our view of the linkage as an input-output device. And then, in this setting, we consider the system of equations that defines implicitly the C-space, phi of q equal to zero, where q is the vector of configuration coordinates defining the configuration of the linkage, and phi is a smooth vector-valued function. And we consider also these two partitions of the vector q, where v and u are the vectors of input and output coordinates, and y and z are the remaining coordinates in q. So, well, the inputs are, in this case, the leg lengths, the actuated degrees of freedom. And the u's are the fixed pose coordinates of the platform. We assume that we have as many inputs and outputs as the dimension of the C space, okay, in a simplified setting. You could assume other things, but... Okay, in this context, there are two problems of importance for such a device. One is, given the input velocity v dot, determine the configuration velocity q dot. The second one is, given the output velocity u dot, compute q dot. Okay? And for a proper control of the linkage, it is important that v dot determines q dot uniquely, and also u dot determines q dot uniquely. And when v dot doesn't determine uniquely q dot, we have a forward singularity. So I forgot to mention that this problem, given b dot compute q dot, is the forward instantaneous kinematics problem, and this and the other problem is the instantaneous inverse kinematics problem. Okay, so when b dot doesn't determine q dot, we have a forward singularity. Okay, analogously, when u dot does not determine q dot uniquely, we have an inverse singularity, and it turns out that these two types of singularities are characterized by the rank deficiency of certain matrices, the matrix phi y, Jacobian matrices. These are the derivatives with respect to the y coordinates here. So the matrix phi y should be rank deficient to have a forward singularity, and the matrix phi z should be rank deficient to have an inverse singularity. Okay, so let's see geometrically how these singularities can be interpreted, at least for a simplified setting, where this is the C-space, where we assume that the C-space is smooth, it doesn't have singularities itself, okay, and these are the spaces of input and output coordinates. Okay, the points where the matrix phi y is rank deficient are precisely the points q of the C-space where the projection of the tangent space is not surjective onto the input space, okay? So the points on the blue circle here are the forward singularities. And it happens here that if you have an input velocity vector v dot, this will correspond to infinitely many configuration velocities q dot. So you lose controllability of the linkage. Okay? Analogously, the inverse singularities, the points where phi z is rank deficient are the points q where the projection of the tangent space is not surjective onto the output space. And here it happens that independently of the configuration velocities you have, whatever the path you are following, you will always have an output velocity that is restricted to lie in a linear subspace. So you have, there are impossible output velocities actually, those out of this linear subspace. So what we say is that we have a loss of dexterity in the robot linkage. Okay, so a good thing to do is to, once you have these singularity sets, you can project them into the input and output spaces, and you can color in gray the regions of the input and output spaces that correspond to actual configurations of the linkage. These diagrams, we call them silhouette portraits. And they provide they convey a lot of meaningful information to the robot designer. So we would like to compute them. You can see this, for example, in the output portrait here. Okay, first of all, this portrait provides a clear picture of the workspace because it represents all possible the set of possible values that the output coordinates can attain. Second, it may reveal the existence of several connected components in the C space, so it may reveal the possibility to assemble the linkage in several possible ways. Third, points corresponding to forward singularities indicate controllability issues, and those corresponding to inverse singularities indicate possible dexterity losses. So that these portraits can actually be thought of as safe navigation maps, in the sense that we know for sure that any trajectory lying completely inside one of the regions of the portrait will correspond to a trajectory in the configuration space that doesn't cross any of the singularities at any point. Okay, so how can we compute them? Portrait computation involves three steps. We first compute the singularity sets, we then project them, and we then detect the gray regions. And of these three steps, only the first one, it's the difficult one, because once you have the singularity sets, you can project them immediately. And the detection of gray regions can be done by just sampling a point inside one of the region and checking whether it has a corresponding C-space point or C-space configuration. And this can be done using the position analysis method I mentioned previously. Okay, so how can we compute the singularity sets? We do the same thing as before. We just formulate systems of equations that characterize these singularity sets, and then we use our linear relaxation method for isolating all points of the singularity sets. For example, if we want to compute the inverse singularities, we know that these are the points Q of the C space such that this matrix is rank deficient, and these are precisely the points that satisfy this system of equations, where the first equation encodes just the assembly constraints of the linkage, and the second and third equations impose the rank deficiency of Phi Z by looking for a vector Xi, non-null vector Xi, in the kernel of this matrix. Okay, I will not go into much detail on that, but these systems are formulated, expanded, and solved in a way analogous as we did before. The key idea is to expand the original system into a form that only involves these monomials, and then we use a linear relaxation method, or branch and prune method, exploiting linear relaxations of the graphs of these monomials. Okay, so we have applied the method to several manipulators, several robot linkages, from planar linkages to spherical linkages to special ones. For example, for this manipulator here, which is a planar parallel manipulator, this is the output portrait that we obtain. Here we assume that these prismatic joints here can only vary their length within given ranges. And we assume that the output coordinates are the x and y coordinates of this point, of a point here on the platform, and the angle zeta of orientation of the platform. So the boxes you see here, which are drawn with in transparent walls, there are many boxes here, correspond to the inverse singularities of this manipulator and thus provide the boundaries of the workspace. In this case, the workspace only has these four connected components, each of which has a cuboidal cuboidal shaped region. Okay, we had to rely on parallel computation for that. There are so many boxes in these boundaries, and also we obtained cross sections of the six-dimensional workspace of the Stewart platform, like the constant position workspace and the constant orientation workspace. This is a really challenging test case, involves many equations. Again, we had to rely on 8 quad-core Intel Xeon processors. And here we take all mechanical limits, both on the active and passive joints. So as conclusions of the talk, I would highlight that we have presented a linear relaxation method for the position analysis of planar and spatial linkages, that it is able to converge to all solutions on rigid and mobile linkages, that it is parallelizable, which is convenient in many cases, Affordable computation times are only on 0, 1 or two dimensional C spaces and on linkages of moderate size. And that the same strategy can be adapted to compute the singularities of the linkage, which convey global information on the shape of the C space. Thank you for your attention.